Yeah, we're good.
Welcome to Security Guy Radio on Black Hat 2016. What's your name, sir?
Lance Cottrell.
And Lance, what's the name of your company?
Intrepid.
How do you spell that? It's not spelled the same way.
It is not. N-T-R-E-P-I-D.
And is it intrepid.com?
It's intrepidcorp.com.
Okay, C-O-R-P.com. All right, yeah. Good. Now, what do you guys do?
We're building a secure web browser. So we're taking a conventional browser and making it secure against all kinds of malware that you might get.
Now, interesting. Yeah, it is interesting. We talked about the pre-show.
Right, a little bit.
And here's where I'm fascinated. I believe, and I'm an advanced user, but I'm no genius, right? My mom didn't raise any dumb kids, but I don't get everything. I just kind of assumed that, you know, Google, Internet Explorer, they're working on these things and they got it safe. And that's really not what's going on, so to speak.
No, I mean, I think browsers are really Swiss cheese from a security
point
of view.
Very interesting.
It's too much code. It's just too expansive.
Right. They're gigantic applications. They're evolving fast all the time.
Right.
And they need to support so many different languages, Flash, JavaScript, Java, and plugins, you know. There's so many moving pieces.
Yeah.
It's impossible to actually make it a secure app. And that's why it's one of the main ways that malware comes into your computer.
Yeah, okay.
It's also hard to scan for malware because it's all real time. It could
right.
be any content from any place. Yeah.
Right,
it takes
right,
a millisecond
right.
to make a decision about
right.
it.
And that's why your browser slows down with some of these applications that are scanning. It goes down to a crawl because it can't keep up with the traffic. If you want to scan it, gotta wait.
So we had a little bit of a talk beforehand. Mm-hmm. So if we could just, I'm going to try to break down how you explain your company so that our users out there, our listeners out there can understand. But what we understand Intrepid doing is taking your internet and the browser that you're using, packaging it into your program, which is kind of holding it into this...
Wrap it in tin foil.
Wrap it in tin foil.
Like a lot of
your credit cards should be secured here at Black Hat. But what we understand is that through your program, you're opening up your internet browser on your local computer in a safe environment.
Right. So we've got a virtual machine, which is sort of like a vault.
Okay.
And the browser can only see the internet from inside this box. It can't see your local computer. It can't see your disk. It can't see the file system.
Because you're protecting it with like this cloak of security.
Yeah. So we've got it running almost as like a simulated computer inside your computer.
Wow.
So it can't see any of the existing operating system. So if something infects the browser, and we're using Firefox, so it's
a
browser people are familiar with.
Right.
That malware is trapped. It can't get out. It can't save the disk. It can't attack other systems on your network. And then as soon as you close the browser, we actually destroy the entire virtual operating system and recreate it again from a clean version next time.
So every single time, any threats that were out there are localized and they're neutralized. And then when you start it back up, it's totally free.
Totally
clean.
Does
the user know if it got hit by ransomware, if it clicked on a phishing attack?
If we detect anything going on, we'll throw an alert.
Wow.
And if they download a file and we're scanning them in our cloud, we'll let users know that it's happened. But we don't count on being able to detect things. So we destroy the environment whether or not ever detect anything.
It doesn't matter because it's just going to be destroyed and gone anyway.
And it's so short term anyway.
Instead of being, what's the term where they...
Cached?
No, where they quarantine it.
Yeah, quarantine.
It's kind of, you're kind of quarantining it temporarily, then you destroy it.
Exactly, because you know so much of this malware now, it's all polymorphic, it's changing.
Right.
You can't really count on the detectors to be 100% effective, and you need them to be.
That's pretty cool.
So we destroy it no matter what.
So it's a very simple, I don't mean to say simple, but in my brain it is.
Yeah.
No, it's a simple concept.
Fundamentally, it is.
And I asked you before the show, why does an Internet Explorer do that? Because they have to allow all kinds of moving parts and programs in there for the consumer experience.
Exactly, right.
And you probably couldn't code this in to make it work this way and make it a pleasant experience.
Yeah, and the nice thing is, because we've got it encapsulated, we can run all that stuff. So if you're running a browser, you might say, you know what, I don't want to run Flash because Flash is dangerous.
Right.
But a lot of websites break if you don't run Flash. With this solution, you can go ahead and run Flash inside of it. You know, you go to all those websites because you know that's not going to then cascade through to compromising your desktop to giving them access to the rest of your data.
Or your network, for that matter.
Or your network, exactly.
And all your gambling sites are going to be erased immediately.
Among other sites.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that erase browser.
I think we're on to something, which transitions into a good question. Who really consumes this? Is this an enterprise level, the entire network, or is this individual users trying to protect their home?
So right now we're focusing on selling this to enterprise. Okay. So a company would go in and basically replace all the browsers throughout the corporation. And for that, we actually have it instrumented to capture all of the user activity so they can do the monitoring, do the compliance that they need. Next year, we're actually going to be rolling out a consumer version of this, which will have no tracking, no logging at all, and really is built on our history as anonymizer. It will also provide an anonymity layer, so when you're going out on the internet, they can't track you. There'd be
where
no traces.
What you do. Very yeah. cool.
Oh, I got to get this.
Yeah, I think this is... So we've talked to so many different people. We've talked to people with endpoint security, people with secure DNS, threat intelligence, a lot of people that are using all different types of angles to beat the next cyber threat. This is simple. This sounds
yeah, it's,
simple.
It's brilliant.
To the point...
Well, the most brilliant concepts are simple.
But yeah. very, very, very cool.
So, now, you're a scientist, and you... were the founder of Anonymizer?
Yeah.
And I used that back in the day. I
95?
Thought it was a fabulous program.
Yeah,
well,
back
Internet
in
Explorer
yeah.
didn't have all those
right.
Things. And at the studios, when we did investigations, I didn't want somebody knowing that I was pinging their... You could ping back then, right?
Right.
I wanted to ping the machine or they didn't know I was looking at them or something yeah. like that. And we used it quite a bit. It was a great program.
Awesome. Well, thank yeah. you.
So very you cool. kind of took this concept and just if, it just
morphed
evolved
it
and morphed it. And it's
it did. Well, what happened was over the years... particularly after 9/11, the government realized the need for anonymity tools to do
yeah.
their own investigations.
Sure,
and
sure.
we started building special purpose things for them. Now they're going up against really aggressive opponents, so
sure.
they needed maximum security. And so we built out all of these things special for their applications. And then we realized that if we just removed the bits that were specific to them, we had this amazing secure browser left, and that's where Passages came from.
Wow, that's brilliant.
I think it's pretty simple. You yeah. know, we've talked to some... I mean, a lot of people, everybody's passionate about what they're doing here at Black Hat. It's an awesome way to hear about what's going on the next level. But this is something that everybody can use.
Yeah.
And everybody is going to be able to use, hopefully. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think it's critical that you can't expect users to understand security or to train for most of them.
No.
It just has to work with the way they want to work.
Right.
And be transparent.
And it's
got to
be simple. It's got to be super simple.
Now, I heard about some vulnerabilities. One of the companies here just discovered a vulnerability in was it?
HTTP.
No, HTTP2, mm-hmm. right? So with your program, I don't care if it's vulnerability, I'm okay.
Pretty much,
pretty
yeah.
Pretty much, right?
Yeah, so they're not going to be able to use any of these vulnerabilities to infect your computer. Now, you know, if it's a vulnerability that allows them to, say, sniff your web traffic, that we wouldn't be able to help with.
Yeah, I understand, right.
But that'll get patched soon, I'm
but
sure.
That brings up a good question. So we've heard a little bit about how social media is actually surpassing email right now, based on the data that's being collected here at Black Hat, of ways that people are getting attacked through phishing attacks and malware. That, so considering all of these are on the internet, what's the value or the idea behind using your program rather than implementing a cyber hygiene within an organization to know what a phishing attack looks
like?
No,
that's a good point.
How do those two meld together? Because we see training as a huge gap right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think training is really important, and you can get people to be better at avoiding these kinds of attacks. But the phishing attacks are also getting really sophisticated.
Sure.
I mean, you know, there's still the Nigerian princes that we see all the time. But if someone
talked to one yesterday,
I bet you
I
did.
I don't know about you.
I'll bet you
I
did.
I mean,
princess, is that what he said?
No comment.
Okay.
No comment.
All right.
But if they actually take the time, if you're being targeted, if someone's actually going after you, they look at your social media, they look at your information. I'm convinced that you could craft a phishing attack that would take out anyone at Black Hat, let alone any of your normal people.
Oh, interesting.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
Because with the right effort, you can make it look, you know, it's
perfect.
From the right person. It's with the right context.
And there's companies that do that. They're only out there to specify.
There's some good
training.
Stuff. What I do now is if I didn't ask you for it, I don't care if the Pope's writing me an email and it's the Pope, I'm deleting it. That's just my policy because I can't decipher what's real and what's not real. And if it's really somebody real, they're going to say, Chuck, did you get my email? They're going to call me because they know me.
So what you're
so
saying,
that's my
Lance,
backup,
is
you know.
No matter how much training you ever do, no one's immune to the attack, so you might as well build a program that protects you anyway.
I think so. I mean, you can reduce the amount of what the incidences that are going to happen.
Sure.
But, yeah, at the end of the day, you're never going to actually knock it all the way down. And there's always that 10% of people who are fundamentally untrainable.
Yeah.
That's true.
Or 20,
well,
depending on where you're from. You know
that's
what I
true.
Mean?
Now, I think you mentioned briefly some analytics in your enterprise packages. So we're insulating each one of these browsers, but the enterprise is able to send this to the IT department to know, here's what the browsing data was. We're still to, what's the word? You know, police our employees.
Absolutely,
that's not a good word politically, but I don't care about that stuff. But we're going to make sure that the employees aren't really screwing us up by going to really bad sites. because even if you're insulating them against that, it's still not a good policy.
For sure. And, and you've got compliance. There may be HR issues.
Exactly.
You need to make sure that you can keep an eye on this. So it's actually capturing all that information and capturing it in the browser itself. So you're getting all the secure websites they're going to.
Right.
Get the full data. And yeah, that goes
How do you get it outside of your, I'm going to call it a capsule. How do you get it outside of the tin foil ball to the IT guys so we can see it?
It actually goes up our VPN connection into our cloud.
Oh,
we
okay.
store it, and then they can automatically pull it into their SIEM systems or ArcSight or Splunk or what have you.
Hence the enterprise-level businesses that you work with.
Exactly.
Now, let's talk about VPN, because back in the day, VPN was the end-all of applications to get somebody in the field to dial in, and then all of a sudden VPN's no good because there's vulnerabilities. How do you guys handle that?
So we're using the VPN for a very specific purpose. We're actually VPNing from this browser out to our cloud. So we're using it for two purposes. One is for sending that things like your activity logs and so forth. And they're also encrypted within the VPN. We're also using it to send your traffic out. So when you're surfing the internet, all of the traffic in and out of this box actually goes over the VPN connection so that it originates from our IP addresses. So if someone's trying to target, like, let's say you're a bank,
right?
A website might not launch their zero-day attack against everyone who visits the website because they don't want to lose and waste the zero-day. They're only going to hit particular targets.
Yeah.
And this is becoming a real trend now. With this, you're not recognizable. You don't look like B of A.
Oh, so you got the anonymizer component there because
they
think that your company does a lot of browsing. Because you're browsing for everybody else, basically.
That's right. And there's no characteristics of interest,
yeah.
And you're certainly not the guy they're individually targeting. You're not Bank of America. You're not, you know, some big financial
Christian
or health
Mingle,
group.
Number two social media site now.
Yeah.
Same thing, yeah. You wouldn't think that, right?
No, you wouldn't think that.
No.
That's interesting.
So number one is Facebook. Number two is Christian Mingle. And I can't remember the third one.
Wow.
But I just got a briefing on that. But yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. So who gets hacked? It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and you know, again, it's with the targeted phishing attacks. Targeting seems to be one of the big trends because it allows you to handcraft the attack and get through the basic training. It's no longer a simple thing. It is tailored to the person using, you know, the best exploits using a zero day, something you know is going to make it through the detection software. And so ideally, if they can't recognize you, that attack, the best defense in the world. The attack never even happens because you don't look like who they wanted to attack.
Now, what about bring your own device? Can you handle that? Because this is a big problem for vulnerabilities.
Yeah, so a lot of the companies that we're talking to actually want to deploy this onto their users' computers. So they say, yeah, go ahead, use this, access our intranet, access, you know, whatever pages you want, but we want you to use this browser on the device.
It's like a security nest then, right?
Exactly.
So being able to bring it to whatever device
And there's tracking issues then, you know, if it's their personal computer, they probably need to turn off the monitoring because...
What about phones, though? Is there any...
Can it work
with phones?
We're not doing anything with phones yet. And it's interesting. Everyone asks us about mobile security, but it's interesting... It's almost none of the hacks. You know, you never see.
Not to comment. What's the there's not as many as there are on.
There aren't, and the phones that get compromised, it's either physical access, and you see lots of those hacks here at Black Hat that someone has a way of breaching your phone if they have physical access to it.
Right.
But that's not a typical case.
Okay.
Right.
Or, it's a bad application that you installed off some third-party app store, and it's a Trojan horse. No one is getting infected through the browser on their phone right now.
Oh, that's
so we're looking at it, but it just doesn't appear to be a vector that's happening.
Well,
and I think it's because they are, in fact, more tightly locked down than general-purpose computers.
Someone else told us that today. Right, that your phone is a safer computer than your HP.
For sure.
Interesting.
And the attackers are smart. They're going to go after the low-hanging fruit. I could spend a huge amount of work developing an exploit for an iOS or an Android device, or I can do almost no work and exploit your Windows machine. So what am I going
to
do?
To follow up on that, we had some great conversations with people, experts in the industry about ransomware, about that low-hanging fruit, about where ransomware artists and experts are actually fitting on the criminal chain. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I mean, it's clearly an exploding attack methodology, and
right.
I think it's there's
minimizes
two
the middleman, easy to gain access to the money, but
right, it's direct money,
right?
You know, you're not having to resell something else, you're not taking credit cards and then trying to kite them across some dark net. You get paid directly by the victim, and they're highly motivated to pay. And I think also some of the other methods are becoming less effective. I mean, if you look at what the the price for 1,000 stolen credit cards is, you know, it's a couple dollars now.
Wow. Yeah.
So you just don't make any money stealing credit cards. Yeah. So now you got to go somewhere else. So
capitalism at its best.
Unfortunately, yeah.
It's an ever-changing economy. It moves really quickly. Mm-hmm. It's interesting how it works.
Thanks for coming on Security Guy Radio. Fascinating discussion. You want to come on and do an hour show someday? You're welcome.
I'd love to.
It's a great topic. You getting your sales doing okay?
Things are going really well.
All right. Excellent.
Yeah, getting a lot of traction.
Excellent. Thanks.
Thanks.
Well, we'll see you again.
Thanks for talking to us. Thank you so much.
50 minutes, right on the button. Look at that.